and which path or which operation within the production meant the most to you, or did you feel how was it juggling all of those hats?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something I've never done before. I've never presented professional work as a choreographer in New York or as a director. So for me, it's, or as a writer. So for me, it's all a first. And I think that there's a world in which just kind of throwing myself into all of it at once almost made it not easy. It wasn't easy at all, but kind of the ripping of the band-aid, I think was nice because I just did all of it. You know, I think that yeah, hopefully down the road in future productions, I won't be all three of those things. And I will have people, a full team that comes in and creates a show, and I'll get to really hone in and focus in on whatever I'm doing more and more and more. But I think that the fact that this was just kind of like a, let's do this, let's go, ended up making it really, really fun. And I find peace in chaos, and I find joy in being really, really busy. That is just like how my brain works. So for me, this is, you know, fourth year of doing this, it's been the greatest joy of my life is taking on this whole project. And this version of the show, for the first time ever, I have a cover. I have an alternate who goes on twice a week, and he's phenomenal. His name is Luke Qualls. Come see him. And getting to sit out and watch the show and know that it works and that the story is told and that it happens and that it's safe and it's in really good hands. And I just can sit there and like cry my eyes out and enjoy this story and watch this person 10 years younger than me tell the story. It's just like, it's really beautiful.
No, absolutely. And so you're just to piggyback off of that question, where did you find that you liked the most in terms of that process? Was it the choreography? Was it the directing, or just, overall, or find challenges?
I think overall, I mean, I think that there's a world in which choreography is so directive if you're trying to tell a story. I think that they kind of work hand in hand when you're trying to tell a story and not just present blanket dance work. You know, so I think the original version of the show, like I said, was just my friends. And so building a show on them and getting to experience them learning what we were doing in real time and being like, oh, that's going to be cool. Or like, oh, that's going to be devastating. Getting to kind of watch it unfold in front of me with all of these people was so cool. So that I guess was the directing side, but I think for me it all kind of just comes as dance, and the fact that dance is storytelling and the fact that dancers are storytellers, we just aren't really ever given the opportunity to do it. And that's my greatest sense of pride with this show is that I have these two production teams who've come in and have said, we like this and we want people to see this and we believe in this and we believe in you all as performers and as carriers of the product to be able to go out there and tell a story without speaking and through the art of body language. And, you know, I think that's the most universal language we have. And so that I think is what I love the most is that it has just kind of unfolded as this tale through dance.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. So with your experience with the new production and also with your background with So You Think You Can Dance, talk to me about your experience with So You Think You Can Dance, and what were some of your biggest takeaways that you brought into your career?
Oh my God, it was ages ago. I was 19 on that show. And so it was like, you know, that bridge between, am I a kid? Am I going to be thrown out into the world? And it was as crazy as it sounds, I think it was the best thing to happen to me to be thrown into that forum. I loved it. I had the time of my life. I always say I would do it again tomorrow in a heartbeat. I was a competitive kid. So for me, that was like, I was just the apex of what I could be doing. I think what I took away the most from it is that we are more well-rounded than we ever think we are when we're thrown into environments like that. You know, I came onto the show as a contemporary dancer. I didn't do contemporary dance on the show, but one time. So it's like, you know, if you treat it like a job and if you do a bad job, you get fired. If you do a good job, you live to see another day. That's kind of how I approached it. And I think my friends that were on it that, you know, those of us that got to the end, we kind of took that away of like, oh, wait, we might kind of be better than we thought at dancing and not just at being this one little thing. It certainly shaped my choreography. It certainly shaped the way that I approach creating and, you know, just getting to work with some of the greatest choreographers of our time all within a 6 week period was really, it was kind of mind blowing.
Wow, that sounds like a great experience. Now, Back to the Ain't Done Bad show. I was really intrigued just by the point that you made in terms of the storytelling unfolding. Talk to me about the creative process, regarding set design, lighting, even wardrobe. I thought all of those complete pieces were, cohesive and really told the story, from so many different perspectives. So share us, some of your creative process behind the production.
Yeah, so the first time we did the show at the Orlando Fringe Festival, all we had were these little rickety moving mirrors. We didn't have a set. Costuming was just kind of like cross your fingers, hope it goes well. But the second time we did the show was when the Renaissance Theatre Company produced us, and they had a set designer that built us this giant wooden backdrop. And Joey Coombs and Philip Lupo, who's also our lighting designer, they did this version as well. And they've done each subsequent version for our set. And it was really, something that came to me as like, hey, we're thinking we want to do this. How do you feel about this? And they would send me a sketch and I was like, yeah, of course. My dream would be that this thing sits inside of like the frame of a house, And so that kind of like an unfinished home, if it's an unfinished love, if it's an unfinished story, I feel like that's kind of what it needs to feel like. And I really do think that that's what our set does for the show. Wardrobe wise, I always knew I wanted the family to be in green. Green is a color that exemplifies so many things, foundation, earth, but also like greed and envy and also like sickness. And I think it is a color that kind of can be whatever it needs to be in that moment. And it's a color of peace. It can be so many things. So the family I knew needed to be in the green. And then the two friends I know, they need to be flashy. She needs to be in sparkles. He's got to be in leather. They need to exist differently, almost in a different neighborhood, let's say. And then my lover's got to wear white. He rides on the white horse. So I feel like it's almost a little bit riding some cliches, but if it helps to clarify and helps to keep us on the right path, that's what I want. I don't like theater where audiences leave feeling like they're left out or like they don't know what they just saw. I'm all about let's bring them with us and hold their hands the whole time, hoping that they want to hug us at the end. So for me, that's kind of where it all came from, was like, how can we do dance theater in a way that the audience feels like they're right there with us on stage the whole time? And I think and I hope that that's what we've done with Ain't Done Bad.
No, absolutely. Down to the lighting and back to the wardrobe, everything, and even the story. And I just want to go into the music and the soundtrack with Orville Peck. I think it was telling and a marriage between just the music, the set, everything played an integral part together. So great job with that. But talk to me about the process in selecting the music and or selecting Orville in particular.
Yeah, I think that I've always, when his music first came to me in 2019, that was when I first started to listen to his music. It felt theatrical. It felt like a soundtrack to me. His voice is so theatrical. The production of it's so theatrical. And so I kind of had been obsessing over it and just thinking like, why hasn't this been turned into something? Or why isn't he writing for theater? Or, how can we do this? And so I was so familiar with his music when I started writing the show that it took me honestly like a couple of hours just to piece from, at that time he only had two albums out. So I just kind of made a couple of versions and there are songs that never ended up making it in the show that I had in the list. And each year that we've done the show after, he has also released new music. So we have a great relationship with his label and with all the rights and licensing. And so we've been able to go back and pull things and add things into the show with full permission and full granted rights. And he has seen clips and we've been in communication and he's very excited about the show. He wasn't able to make it to opening because he's on tour right now. But it's cool to feel. It's not directly collaborative, but it is certainly with permission and with blessing, which is something that is just as important to me to know that the artist is like this. I mean, he sent me a message that was like, this looks incredible. I'm so glad I can't be here. And that's the kind of thing that to me is like, that feels really, really cool.
No, absolutely. I hope he can actually make it to see the show, hopefully eventually with his busy schedule.
Yeah.